Welcome to Transitions with Ruth Ann Raim McCaffrey. Hi, Ruth Ann. I'm Santia. How are you?
I'm great. Hi, Santia.
Great. Great to have you, as always.
Thank you.
In this month, we're talking about the power of hope. Last month, we talked about the challenges of chaos. And
Right. This
month, we're going to talk about the power of hope. And as we always do, we prepare for these podcasts, and we always get some great inspiration from our producer, Rob Rigoni, and he always gives us some great tips and ideas and pointers and his own personal experiences. So we thought we would do an impromptu guest presentation by Rob.
Right, because he always disappears into the control room, and it would be nice to hear from him.
I know.
Hi, Santia.
Hi.
Hi, Ruth Ann.
Hi, Rob.
Thanks for having me on tonight.
You bet.
We're so glad to have you. And so when we were talking before the podcast in preparation, we were talking about hope. And we were also talking about where does hope come from? And you had some great perspective on that. Could you talk a little bit about where your hope comes from?
Well, in my personal experience, just, you know, speaking from my perspective, hope comes from within myself, where I believe that I'm here on this earth for a purpose. I've got something to accomplish. I want to contribute to society. So I kind of pull from within myself, thinking I believe I'm here for a reason. It's not just random. Now, one could take that a step further and maybe look to a higher power for their hope. And I know a lot of people like to look to their friends and family to get their hope from there, and then even inspirational figures from history. And that's another thing from personal experience. I'm always reading biographies or autobiographies about great historical figures, not necessarily from the music or entertainment industry only, but political figures, military figures, people who've overcome great odds and faced their own humanity and then left a lasting contribution.
Well, thank you.
Yes, great ideas.
Thanks.
And I loved how you started this too. You talked even more than what when we were doing our prepping session. And so I guess, Ruth Ann, what do you also see in others with hope and with maybe taking from what Rob talked about?
Well, one of the big important things I think to remember about hope is that it really does give us courage, and it gives us a balancing source of information in very challenging times. And these are particularly challenging times right now, probably not unlike some other challenging times in history, but it's ours. And so I guess we think it's the most that anybody could be faced with. But when we think about how do we meet these challenges with strength and with creativity and with ideas that are going to be useful, I think that's the real benefit that hope can provide for us as individuals and for us as members of a community and a country and probably even the world. Some of the ways that we in general can find hope is by looking in our own history and in the history of, like Rob was saying, in historical figures or at stories that have been told. And so we look at, well, what have other people done that was particularly brave or courageous or wise when they were faced with a challenge? And so to look back or to look into those things that have already been done can give us the courage by example to examine our own choices. And then we also can look at, well, what's out in front of us? What if we could design a future that is particularly bright and interesting and compelling and wonderful, what would that look like? And I know when I'm working with clients, one of the things that we often will do is describe a life out in front of us or work or whatever, you know, whatever challenge working on what would be the most wonderful realization that we could imagine. And we describe that, and knowing that, planting that image out in front of us to pull us forward can be a great source of hope and inspiration.
Oh, that's great. So that can really strengthen what we have inside of us.
Right.
We can have that visual, that image. What are some other things that we can do to be more resilient?
One of the things that I love working, again, I'm talking about working with my clients, is to remember that we all have these kind of seeds of resilience or resilient behaviors or examples of resilience in our own history and in our own kind of, we may even be hardwired that way, and we may not know them. We may not remember that. We may not realize that that what we're doing is really an example of resilience. And I'll give you an example of from my own life. After my husband died, one of the things that I naturally was willing to do is to take action. I went out into the yard and pulled up a big pampas grass.
Which that's a lot of work.
So silly. Yeah, it was a lot of work. It took me 2 hours of heavy digging. But I never liked it. I know it's pampas is beautiful, but it's not beautiful when it's always right on the edge of a path because it has a razor edge on the fronds that stick up or whatever their leaves are called. And when I did that and I did some other things, it reminded me that I am an action person, and that's an example of a resilient behavior. And when we can find those examples in our own life and remember that those qualities are there for us, and those are to be called upon or can be called upon, we can be hopeful because we know we are now equipped to navigate our way through a future challenge or a present challenge because we've got that experience to draw on.
That's so smart of you to be able to link what you did was an action element with how that pairs with resilience.
Right.
So what are some other examples of being resilient?
Well, I think that when people have, again, and this is all these natural qualities that we have, and if you have a natural tendency to want to be a part of a community, and you've built community, and you have people in the community that you care about, and you have causes that are important to you, then a challenge comes up, and if you can depend on the fact that those causes are waiting for you or those people are appreciative of you, then that's a source of energy for you. Again, after my husband died, one of the things that I found particularly, in fact, this was after 9/11 too, one of the things that was particularly inspiring to me personally is that I like to bake birthday cakes, and that sounds like a small thing to do that. I like to make them from scratch, and I like to make them for particular people on their birthday. And not too long after 9/11, in fact, on the 19th of September, my really good friend and Terry, my late husband's good friend, Dixie, was experiencing a birthday. And when I made her birthday cake, that signaled to me that there was something still in the world that was good. And 9/11 just shattered all of the sense of security, at least I had in the world, and belief that we lived in a world that we could depend on and where we could believe that we'd have a future. And so to be able to bake a birthday cake for someone that I loved and to know that I could celebrate her, it sounds really funny, but it gave me a hope that the future still had potential.
And that there was a future, it sounds like.
That's right. And that we could, that it could be bright. It didn't have to be frightening.
So where does this resilience come from?
Well, I think it comes from a number of places. One is a personal awareness. We all have examples of resilience in our own life. What I found in working with clients is that the more aware we are of our ability to bounce back from challenges, the more we trust that we have the necessary talent and resources and ideas and creative potential to resolve questions or particularly hard things that we're dealing with. The more we own those, that awareness, the more we embrace what we can do, I think the more we have a resilient backlog that we can draw on. It's really interesting when a person has faced challenge after challenge after challenge, and it's just mind-boggling the number of challenges that some people encounter in their lives. The resilience that they have, that they can call on and own, becomes particularly important because it seems like the balance is way off on the side of the challenges and less on the side of a person's ability to meet those challenges. So it, part of it is just the memory that, yes, I've done this before. Yes, I've seen this done before. Yes, I am brave enough to try this, even though maybe I haven't done it, but somebody that I know or I've seen it on television or a movie or a book or whatever, and I'm willing to give it a try. So I think it's a matter of giving ourselves permission to be brave and to try on those things that, you know, have some potential of being very useful in meeting a challenge that we're facing.
Okay, so it's using awareness, mm-hmm. having an awareness. And then also, as you said, having that understanding of being there before.
Right.
And going through that process and knowing that it's going to be okay.
Right.
That you're going to work through because you've been there before.
Right. Or being willing to trust that if we personally haven't been there before, somebody else has been there before. Mm-hmm. And if they could make it through, maybe we could make it through. And to be okay with, all right, I'm going to give it a shot. You know, I might not have slipped down this slope before, but if somebody else can do it, I bet I can do it too. So that's a big part, I think, of facing the world and our challenges, facing them straight on. I mean, we're really at the whole time of spring and the whole idea of the organic recovery from winter and the beauty,
kind of rebirth, and
yeah,
all those
and
things.
Nature. Nature has stayed with us all during a winter and long cold and all of that, and to be able to come out of that knowing and trusting that it's the way that things are done. To, you know, send up our little courageous shoots in spring and try the things that are facing us.
And that's what makes us unique as humans, I think, that mm-hmm. we have that hope. It's just, it's part of our being.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
We're so lucky to live in a human form mm-hmm. where we have an awareness of the passage of time and what that means and can remember the past mm-hmm. and look ahead and have the big picture, have the perspective, and can draw on that in such a way to really make our lives be what we want.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that's a perfect place to end.
It is. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Ruth Ann.
You're welcome. So good to be with you again.
Great to be with you too.
Thanks.
Thanks, Rob. Thank you for joining us. This is Santia. For more information about Ruth Ann, please go to her website at careermi.com. This program is produced and engineered by Rob Rigoni at Brown Pelican Productions. For more information about Rob, go to robrigoni.com.